From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, April 19th, 2017. And on this day, a new Democratic candidate for governor and $1.5 million to fight opioid addiction in Maine. We'll have those stories and more in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the law offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
First tonight, Sanford attorney and National Guardsman Adam Cody says he is running for governor next year. Steve Missler has the details.
Cody hopes an economic-focused message, a decorated military career, and his outsider status will appear to Democratic primary voters, and eventually general election ones. He also hopes his candidacy will re-energize a Maine Democratic Party that has not fared well in recent statewide elections. Democrats have suffered big losses in areas hit hard by mill closures, while also losing ground in typical Democratic strongholds.
But the real focus that I'm going to make in my campaign, I think, transcends party politics, and it focuses on people's lives, because at the end of the day, that's why I'm running. It's about service. It's about a sense of giving back.
Cody has worked in renewable energy between multiple deployments on combat tours in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Bosnia during 20 years serving in the Maine National Guard. He was awarded the Bronze Star for his service in Afghanistan. At age 44, Cody has been out of Maine politics for nearly a decade, but in 2008, he vaulted from relative obscurity to an impressive second-place finish in the six-way Democratic primary for the 1st Congressional District. That seat now belongs to Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, who has held it ever since fending off Cody 9 years ago. At the time, Cody used his business and military experience to court voters' disillusion by the war in Iraq and a tanking economy. It's unclear how Cody's moderate bona fides will resonate with Democratic primary voters this time. The Democratic field is expected to be a crowded one, with candidates vying for the support of activists already engaged in the resistance to President Donald Trump. But Cody is already emphasizing issues typically at the forefront for all Maine voters, jobs and the economy. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
10 community organizations around the state will share $1.5 million in grants from the Maine Health Access Foundation to create or expand medication-assisted treatment for opioid addiction. The Penobscot Community Healthcare Center in Bangor is among those who will benefit from the award. And as A.J. Higgins reports, it plans to use the money to develop a regional rapid access clinic as part of its primary care services.
The Maine Health Access Foundation, or MHAF, is upping the ante in the state's efforts to battle an opioid addiction crisis that claimed the lives of 376 people last year. MHAF is providing $1.5 million to 10 organizations from York to Lincoln to encourage more healthcare providers to offer medication-assisted treatment for opioid addicts. Using the medication Suboxone in tandem with counseling, MHAF CEO Barbara Leonard says addiction specialists are able to improve the prospects for patients in recovery. And she says those specialists are being asked to help more and more Mainers every day.
This is a crisis that hits all of us. Some of us are lucky. Right now, I don't have anyone in my family or in my immediate circle of friends that is dealing with addiction currently. But we've had close calls.
Leonard's Augusta-based nonprofit is dedicated to promoting access to quality health care, especially for those who are uninsured or medically underserved. She says MHAF's decision to provide a 2-year funding stream for groups such as Penobscot Community Health Care, York Hospital, and others is based on the idea that medication-assisted treatment plans for opioid abusers is the right thing to do, the right way to get addicts into recovery, and ultimately, a way to get them back into the workforce. Dr. Noah Nessen, PCHC's Vice President of Medical Affairs, agrees, and he says the additional funding will do more than simply address patients' recovery.
It also is another step in changing the culture and changing the perception of this disease and in addressing the stigma associated with the disease so that more and more people will undertake this work and more will be able to meet the need of the people who suffer with this disease and allow them to access recovery and full and productive lives.
Each of the 10 grantees will work with a network of their own partners, including primary care providers, behavioral health specialists, and others with expertise in substance abuse and addiction care. Leonard said emergency medical services, law enforcement and peer support and mutual aid groups will also be included to ensure the necessary referral relationships and wraparound services to support expanded access to medication-assisted treatment in primary care settings. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
This month, we are catching up with the first graduates of STRIVE-U. It's a first-of-its-kind college education and training program for young adults with developmental disabilities based in South Portland. Just over 10 years ago, the first five students completed the two-year program and began living and working on their own. Since then, they have inspired other families that overcoming challenges and reaching your full potential is possible no matter who you are. Susan Sharon has more.
STRIVE students begin their careers with on-the-job training. Back in 2004, Julie Germain was placed in a human resources job at TD Bank North in Portland, where her attention to detail at the copy machine was legendary.
I need this.
Some of her coworkers were initially skeptical about having her take on tasks in the office, but at the time, Jay Milligan said her sheer will to do a good job changed their minds.
You'll go by the photocopy room and she'll say, okay, now that one's done, I'll put this one over here and this one's next. And she sort of talks herself through the process and then she'll say, good, I'm done. And she'll, you know, giggle and squeal. It's so much fun to have her here.
Since then, Germain has switched jobs. She now does kitchen prep work at a restaurant in Scarborough. And she's proud to report that she recently got a raise.
$9. It's going up.
Are you so excited?
Yeah, they haven't decided about getting me a promotion yet. That might happen later.
Germain lives in her own apartment in Scarborough, but her landlord is also support staff who lives next door. She gets rides to work, and once a week she goes to a therapeutic horseback riding program in Windham.
Well, you guys up for a little red light, green light?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Julie? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll go down to the other end.
Germain, as you can hear from her giggles, loves to ride a horse named Bam.
Red light.
Whoa, Bam.
Green light.
Walk, Bam.
Crystal Stover, the owner and instructor at It Takes Two Farm, says most people think of therapeutic riding for those with physical disabilities. But Stover saw a value in using horses to connect with people who have emotional and social needs as well. And she says it's been personally rewarding.
Oh, it's so beneficial, the giggles, you know, just to see just the happiness, the smiles. You know, some folks are nonverbal, but boy, you can tell with their faces, you know, how much they're enjoying it. So, and a lot of students like Julie, they've been coming for years.
In addition to horseback riding, Germain has other hobbies that keep her busy. She says she likes reading, knitting, and making art. She's a big fan of the soap opera General Hospital. She can tell you exactly what time it comes on. And she likes to cook, especially pepperoni pizza on Saturday nights. She keeps track of medical and other appointments on her iPhone. And for Germain, planning and sticking to a schedule is a must. She's already got her 36th birthday party planned in August.
August 26th. It's going to be a Saturday. But yeah, something planned for that. Pizza party? Yeah.
I love having her in Scarborough because she's close to me, but she's on her own.
Sherry Hartwell is Julie Germain's mom, who would like to see her daughter be a bit more social with her old friends from STRIVE-U.
I'd like to see her get out more. We haven't been in touch with anybody because she doesn't go.
I'm going to try calling Brittany.
Okay, you try. We'll find
she
out.
She has to call.
Building social skills and teaching students how to use public transportation is a big focus at STRIVE. Not everyone can ride the bus alone, but raising expectations for students and their families is the goal. And says Pete Brown of Strive, the more they get out into the world, the more they interact, the better for everyone, especially employers.
You know, that's something we've heard from a lot of different employers, that it's certainly a side benefit for companies that hire one of our students, that their employees see somebody that's, you know, had to come overcome a little bit more than some of their other employees might have to. And sometimes it's easy for supervisors to be able to point and say, hey, you know, they're, you know, working hard. It's no reason the rest of us can't.
Now in its 13th year, StriveU has accepted another 7 students for its 2-year program. They'll start at the end of June. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And our coverage for this story was made possible by a grant from the Dorie Taylor Charitable Foundation. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Wednesday, April 19th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.